Todsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I'm speaking this morning from Genesis chapter 6, and I've entitled this message, Sin and Grace. Sin and Grace. I'd like to read verses 5 and verses 8 of Genesis chapter 6. Now here is sin. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now there's sin. The wickedness of man was great. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, let me read verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, please listen to this statement very carefully. It takes the grace of God to understand sin. Now, we may understand the problem sin brings. We've all experienced it. But I'm talking about an understanding of sin. Not everybody understands sin. It takes the grace of God to understand sin. And it takes an understanding of sin to understand the grace of God. Now let me repeat that. I want you to think about it. It takes the grace of God to have a true understanding of sin. And it takes an understanding of sin to understand the grace of God. Now sin. In the human experience, sin began with Adam. Romans 5:12 says, for by one man, sin entered the world. There is such a thing as sin. Sin is against God. If there's no God, who's to say what's right and wrong? But there is a God, the God of the Bible. As by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. When Adam sinned, you and I were in him. When he sinned, we sinned. What he did, we did. And when he's talking about death, no doubt physical death is included, but that's really not what he's referring to. He's talking about spiritual death. Now let's go back to Adam eating of the fruit. What happened? The scripture says his eyes were opened, and he knew he was naked. Now, he was naked before the fall, but something has happened. He has now got an evil nature, and it's a completely different knowledge of nakedness. Now there's shame, and there's sinful thoughts, and he's become dead in sins. He knew he was naked. What's the first thing he did? He tried to make himself a covering of fig leaves. That represents salvation by works. He no longer wants to be in God's presence. He hides from the presence of God. He now has a fear of God. And this is not the good kind of fear. That's the beginning of wisdom. This is a fear that's born of hatred of God and dislike of God. He never confesses his sin. He never asks for forgiveness. All he does is blame God. He's become a victim. The woman that you gave me, she gave me of the fruit, and I did eat. Now there we have sin, a sinful nature. That is the case with Adam. Now, we read in verse 5, this is what happened as a result of Adam's sin. This is what is the truth with regard to you and I. And God saw. Now, God is the only one who sees things as they really are. You and I don't. We don't have a clue, really. But God does. We may think things like, well, I've got a good heart. I've got a free will. I can do my best. I'm sincere. That's what we may see. But here's what God sees. And what God sees is what really is. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now that verse of Scripture is one of the most important verses in all of the Word of God. And if I don't enter into what this is saying with regard to myself, I will never understand the grace of God. Now, this is a description of me, and this is a description of you. The wickedness of man was great in the earth. And he's not even talking about the deeds. He's talking about the imaginations, the intentions, the inclinations, the motives of the heart, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Now, don't miss those words. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Non-stop. And that's why the Scripture says the plowing of the wicked is sin. If you think of a wholesome activity, you would think it would be plowing, going out and plowing a field to grow crops, maybe to feed the poor. That seems like such a good thing to do, but the Scripture says the plowing of the wicked is sin because of who does it. That is the problem. Every faculty of man is under the dominion of sin. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, his intellect, his affections, his will, his conscience is under the control of sin, and that renders every action sin. Now, does the Bible teach this? Yes. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, present tense, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 1:10, if we say we've not sinned with regard to any action we do, including this sermon I'm preaching, if we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. You see, he says we do. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. Now, let me tell you what that says about me and you. I hope you can see this. That says that everything I do is sin. You see, you don't become a sinner when you sin. You sin because you're already a sinner. Everything I do is sin. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart. I cannot not sin. I can't grit my teeth and close my eyes and think I'm going to go 5 seconds without sin. I cannot not sin. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That means that I can't look down my nose in judgment upon anybody because all I am and all I do is sin. It's all my fault and I have no claims on God. If he leaves me to myself and lets me go to hell, just and holy is his name. Now that's the scriptural representation of man. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that's God's testimony of you. Somebody says, I don't see that. Well, it's true whether you see it or not. Somebody says, I don't accept that. Well, it's true whether you accept it or not. This is God's testimony. And remember, God sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance. The Lord looketh on the heart. Somebody says, I've got a good heart. No, you don't. The scripture says the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And let me tell you where you're going to see the truthfulness of this. It's not by looking at yourself. It's not by comparing yourself to somebody else. The cross is the proof of this. When God left man to himself to do what he wanted to do, man nailed God to a cross in hatred of him. Now that's the true picture with regard to me and you. And God saw. This is sin. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts that went through his heart, his mind, was only evil nonstop. That's God's testimony. And then we read in verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast. This is talking about the flood he was going to send. And the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made man. Now this is language given to accommodate our weakness. God is immutable. That means he cannot change. He never changes his mind. He didn't look at this thing with regret and say, I made a mistake in making man. This is given to accommodate our human weakness and to show us his heart. It grieved him at his heart when he saw the sinfulness of man. Now here is grace. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Question. Was Noah somehow not included in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5? And he was a cut above that. He was better. He was more righteous. He was more obedient. He was a better man. And that's why God gave him grace. No, not at all. If that is the case, I'm in trouble. And so are you. And salvation is not by grace at all, but by works. If Noah was seen to not be as bad as that description of those men in verse 5. But it doesn't say Noah was a cut above the rest of mankind, but Noah found grace, unmerited favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now here's what this looks like. Here's a New Testament scripture. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You were alienated. You were enemies. But what did he do? Through his death, he made every believer, everybody he died for, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now that is grace. And this is actually the first time we read the mention of grace in the scriptures. Now Noah was included in that description. Look in verse 11 of this same chapter. And the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence or cruelty. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt for all flesh. This is including Noah. This is including me and you. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Our sinfulness is our fault. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. This is talking about bringing on that flood. Now, Noah was just as bad as everybody else. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's very much like another New Testament scripture. And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others, but God. There's the difference. Not but you, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Now the grace of God. I want to make seven statements with regard to the grace of God. Now these statements will be meaningless if you don't have some understanding of the first part of this message, sin. That every imagination of the thoughts of your heart and my heart is only evil continually in his sight. That's what he sees. Now, if you have an understanding of that, it's only because of the grace of God. You'd look at sin the way everybody else does. Well, I make mistakes. I do bad things. But you don't understand it's a nature that makes everything you do bad. It makes your breathing bad. It makes your speech bad. It makes everything about you. That's what sin is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if you have some understanding of sins because the grace of God has taught you that, what a blessed thing to be taught you're a sinner. And it's only a sinner that has any understanding of grace. Now, let me say these seven things with regard to the grace of God. Number one, all of God's grace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't say that strong enough. The grace of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He didn't forgive you if you're forgiven. He didn't forgive you because you asked for forgiveness. He didn't forgive you because of your sincerity. He didn't forgive you because you confessed those sins. He didn't forgive you because you promised you'd never commit those sins anymore. There's one singular reason for forgiveness, only one. Christ's sake. All of God's grace, all of God's blessing, all of God's mercy is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Not he will if, he hath. If I'm a believer, he has blessed me. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, like the forgiveness of sins, like being elect, like being justified, like being redeemed, like being born again, like being given the gift of a new heart, like being given the gift of faith, like being given the gift of repentance, being an adopted child, on and on, all spiritual blessings. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul said to Timothy, not be strong in grace, but be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God will not speak to, nor be spoken to, apart from Christ, and all of God's grace, all of God's favor is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how thankful I am for that. What if he had to look for a reason in me to give me grace? I'd be in trouble, and so would you. But all of God's grace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, the grace of God in Christ Jesus is eternal. That doesn't mean simply that it will never end. It also means it never had a beginning. The grace of God in Christ Jesus is eternal. You see, God is eternal. God is not bound by space and time the way you and I are. God is eternal, and God's grace is eternal. Somebody says, what do you mean by that? Well, what the Scripture means. Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. 2 Timothy 1:9, He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The Lord said, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Now, if I can't trace the grace that God has given me to eternity, it's not the grace of God. All of God's grace is in Christ, and all of God's grace is eternal. Thirdly, the grace of God is sovereign. The grace of God is sovereign. God sovereignly selected Noah as the object of His grace. Noah was singled out by the grace of God. Noah was included in that description of what God saw, but Noah was singled out by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? You see, you take God sovereign, listen to these words, you take God sovereign, distinguishing, discriminating choice of who He gives His grace to, out of grace, and you no longer have the grace of God. You know, if you don't believe election, that God chose who'd be saved before time began, you don't really believe grace. It's impossible. You believe you had something to do with it. But no, God's grace is His sovereign grace. Salvation is of the Lord. Fourthly, the grace of God is saving grace. It's all in Christ. It's eternal. It's sovereign. And the grace of God is saving grace. Now, listen real carefully. Grace is not offered to you. And it's up to you as to whether or not you'll accept it or reject it. No, God's grace is saving grace. By grace, you are saved. Not grace is offered to you. By grace, you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. God's grace always saves. Peter said, we believe that by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. You see, saving grace, it's electing grace. It's justifying grace, being justified freely by His grace. It's redeeming grace, paying for your sins. It's life-giving grace, where He gives you the new birth. And everything that's included in the new birth, like faith and repentance and love to Himself. It's preserving grace. You're kept through His grace. It's glorifying grace. It is saving grace. Not an offer. And fifth, the grace of God is free grace. Free grace. Really, all of these descriptions of grace are inherent in the word grace, in Christ, eternal, sovereign, saving, and free. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely. That means without a cause, by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, if you have anything to bring to the table, you're disqualified from grace. The only ones who are saved by His grace are the ones who are saved freely. There was no cause in them. If I'm not a Genesis 6:5 sinner, if I'm not a Genesis 6:5 sinner, God saw the wickedness of man, me, was great in the earth, and every imagination and thoughts of my heart was only evil continually. Have nothing to bring to the table. God's grace is free. Nothing is required of me to get His grace. God's grace is free grace. The only condition to meet is you don't have any way of meeting any conditions. God's grace is free to that person. And sixth, the grace of God is righteous grace. Now understand this, grace doesn't just put sin, sweep it under the rug. No, all sin must be punished. God's righteousness is revealed in the gospel. And look at this description of Noah. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now, Noah was a sinner. He proves that when he gets off the ark. You read that 9th chapter, and you look at what he was guilty of doing. Yet God says he was a righteous man and a just man. Well, is that a contradiction? No, it's not. You see, the sin of Noah became Christ's sin. He willingly took it upon himself, and he put that sin away and made it not to be, and he takes his righteousness and causes it to be Noah's righteousness. Just as Noah's sin became Christ's sin, Christ's righteousness became Noah's righteousness, and it is righteous grace. It is a grace that exalts the righteousness of God and makes sinners righteous before God. And last, the grace of God makes a man walk with God. In verse 9 it says, "And Noah walked with God." Now the scripture says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? They can't. Noah was in complete agreement with God concerning the character of God, concerning his own sinfulness, his own need of Christ. He saw the beauty of Christ and he walked with God by faith, as every believer does. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Every believer possesses this faith, the gift of God, that causes them to walk with the living God. Noah walked with God. Now we have this message on CD and DVD. If you call the church right or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niebuhr praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.niebuhr@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.